Now we're continuing Ephesians. Oh, I forgot to pass out the little roses to the men. Oh. Next time. You know, we have been studying Ephesians, and we are almost through Ephesians. And yet, one of the things that struck me as I was preparing, this was one of those weeks of preparation where the sermon preparation kept veering. And the fact that this is Father's Day, I think really kept coming to mind. Now, I also want, I almost hesitated to bring this up, but I think it actually matters to notice this. I was just contemplating different scripture. Where would I go in scripture to find that really fantastic dad in scripture that we could all emulate? To be like Father Abraham and lie to the king and say our wife was our sister so that she could be taken off by some other heathen. You know, the bottom line, you know this, I couldn't find that guy. And I was honestly sad. I was honestly sad that I couldn't find that guy in Scripture where I could say, we're supposed to be just like David, a man after God's own heart. No, we're not. Not as fathers, we're not supposed to be like David. David neglected his sons, and it came back in costly ways to bite him. So there are incredible men and women of God in Scripture, but there is no one that we can go to in Scripture that I could find and say, let's just study the life of this guy to see how to be a daddy, to see how to raise little babies, to see how to raise teenagers, to see how to raise young men and young women. There's nobody in Scripture, and while I was really honestly sad about that, I was pondering, God, come on. I mean, seriously, I had this conversation. God, 4,000 years you had to work with. Wasn't there one good one? And I think the true answer is, yes, there were many good ones. There were many good ones. There were some fathers back there that weren't famous. There were some fathers right around, and it might have been Peter, James, and John. There might have been some really good fathers along the way. And we don't get to see their good fathering. And I was honestly pondering that, and I believe I came to what seems to me a biblically wise conclusion. That God's saying, but there's one father that shines through the whole story, and I want you to pay attention to that father. There's one father whose heart you can look at and always emulate. You never have to figure out, well, do I sort of do it like that? But, well, maybe that was just his personality and his style, and I'll do it different. There are some things that are obvious here that God's saying, you know what? I left one father role in Scripture, just one, that stands out and shines, and that now every single one of us as men can say, that's what I'm supposed to be like as a father. And that we can raise and train our sons and say, that's what you get to grow up and be like as a father. And that we can train our daughters and say, that's what you go looking for when you're looking for someone to be your father. I appreciated what Sis said earlier. I mean, to someone to be the father of your children. Yeah. Not trying to get into some kind of weird doctrine thing here. So, that woman who's out looking for a man, that she gets to say, I look into the heart of God to see the qualities that will be there for my children, and then to desire, pray for, and look for a man who loves those qualities, who doesn't disdain them as weak, who doesn't disdain them as some kind of extra religious stuff that he can live without. Several of you guys have come back to me recently and mentioned how much it meant to you, and I don't even remember what the sermon was. But where we talked about the fact of how easy in our culture it is to sort of leave the love stuff to the wives and the moms. And again, that God has said, if you're paying attention to the one great father role I've given you in Scripture, the whole core of this father relationship is love. the whole core and essence and character of how the Father relates to me and you as sons and daughters, of how the Father relates to Jesus as His Son, is characterized by love. So that there's no way in the world that I can say, I'm supposed to grow into a godly father, but I leave the love stuff to my wife. Because Jesus didn't say, you know what? I mean, the Father didn't say, I'm just leaving the love stuff to Jesus. I'm just leaving the love stuff to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sort of this little human thing, and the Spirit, well, He's sort of fluffy anyway. So I'll leave all the love stuff to them. I'm just going to be hard and tough, and I'm going to raise some real men. And that's what they come to me for, is how to be real man. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then He characterized Himself as loving us so much that He would lay down His life for us. So, I know that we're almost out of time. And, whoa. I have about 40 scriptures I want to look at this morning. Go for it. Okay, hit it. But I do at least want to hit some of the high points, because I want us to recognize that as we're growing as fathers, as we're committing ourselves to keep growing as fathers, as wives are praying for us to grow and supporting us in our growth and encouraging us in our growth, that we get to look at the heart of God and recognize, I want to borrow from that. I want to grow in that. That's who dwells within me. I want to keep maturing in that quality. So that's what those 40 passages of Scripture I would like to go to today, and we won't get to today, but we'll at least touch a couple of them. And one of them is the recognition that this Father longs to be our Father. And that out of that, He invites us to sonship. And that recognition, and first of all, I know I've said this before, and everybody I'm sure here recognizes, this sonship includes women. This is the sons and daughters of God that are in the position of the firstborn Son, Jesus Christ. So we're brought into a particular quality of friendship, and He longs for this. And this is one place where I really would, probably in this one spot, want to give you about 40 passages, but go to 2 Corinthians 5. Where Paul is expressing his passion for the ministry of reconciling people to God, of bringing men and women back into the father-son relationship, the father-daughter relationship with Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ to the Father, that Adam and Eve lost. And look at verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. And go from there down to verse 20. And the word I want you to capture out of that verse is we persuade men. And now take that thought into verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, if you were going to go look up the word persuade in various different permutations of the word persuade, persuaded, persuading, several times that comes up, particularly in the ministry of Paul, where Paul was not content to say, you know what? I'm just going to be a faithful speaker of the truth. I'm going to get up, I'm going to speak the truth, and then it's up to you what you do with it. That repeatedly Paul says, here's how I approach it. I actively seek to persuade men to believe in Jesus Christ. If you go back in the book of Acts, particularly like I think chapters 15, 16, 17, 18, and again in 28, where Paul's ministry is described as a ministry of persuasion. And now here in verse 20, Paul is saying, I am an ambassador of Christ. He's saying, I represent the heart of Christ, so pay attention to this. I represent the heart of God. It's as if God is speaking through me, and here's what Jesus Christ and here's what the Father are speaking. We beg you. Now, here's something that matters. Most of you sitting in this room are believers. A room this big, there's got to be somebody in here who's not a believer yet. But whether you're someone who's already a believer, or you're someone who's not yet quite made that choice to put your faith in Jesus Christ, what God is saying is, if you became a believer, it was the outcome of my pleading spirit. I longed for you to come be my child. I longed for you to come be mine. And I worked to try to persuade your heart to believe that so that you would accept it. And if you're not a believer, even if you know tons of truth about the Bible, but you've never actually made that choice to put your faith in Jesus Christ, Father's Day is a perfect day to recognize the God of the universe is begging to be my Father. He's pleading to be my Father. That His Spirit is speaking to my heart, my mind, my inner being, calling me because He longs to be my Father. And we could go to passage after passage after passage, which we won't, where God expresses that same longing. Now, He only has to say it once for us to know that it's true. But He doesn't want us to miss it, so He says it repeatedly. He longs for this. Now, actually, go to Galatians 3. Which again, we've certainly going through Ephesians, we've bumped into this truth repeatedly. But in Galatians 3:26, He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So the Father's saying, I've made this work a certain way. There's only one way to come be my son or daughter. There's only one way. You leave that world, you leave that allegiance, you leave that family identity, and you come be mine through faith in Jesus Christ. This recognition, actually, let me just say this. So he makes sonship effective through faith in Christ. And I'm going to add this. It's unconditionally effective. Hebrews 13:5. Let's go there and see if I'm correct. In Hebrews 13:5, I believe. Yes. Now he's talking here in this verse about not worrying about our provision and care, but he anchors it in the Father's care. And he says this at the end of that verse. For he himself has said, this is God speaking to us, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And as we've talked about before, when I hear the promises of God, when I hear God describe how he works, it's real important that I comprehend what God's looking at when he makes that promise. So that when God gives me this promise, when God looks at me and he says, now Reg, I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. And he made that promise to me when I first accepted him when I was 6 years old. And I left my life of crime, my life of horrendous riotous living at the age of six to become faithful to Jesus Christ. But see, God wasn't just looking at my relatively mild past at the age of six when he made me this promise. He was looking ahead at all my years of sin. God was looking ahead at 5.5 years of horrendous living involved in the occult. God was looking ahead at every moment of lust, every moment of anger, every moment of selfishness, every moment of neglect of him and his word. God was looking ahead to every single moment of disobedience in my life. And when he made that promise to you, he was looking ahead to every sin and every single moment of disobedience in your life. And he still said, I want you to have this confidence. I want you to know that this is rock solid truth, that in this sonship, because of how completely my son died for you and paid for your sin, I want you to take this to the bank in every conceivable way in your heart and your mind and your thinking. I, the living God, who have now adopted you as my son and my daughter, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And there are times you're going to turn away from me, and I will still never leave you nor forsake you. And there are times you're going to go make your bed in hell, and I'm going to follow you, and my right hand will get you, and I will bring you back to me, but I will not leave or forsake you. So this sonship, this father-son, father-daughter relationship that you now possess in Jesus Christ, I get to recognize, Father, I want to learn from that. I want to raise my daughter, and if I'd had a ton of other kids, that each one of them, and that you and I as parents get to say, I want to pass this quality of love on. And the difference is, I can't tell my child I'm going to always be perfect at this. But what I can absolutely say is, I am pursuing this. I am committed to love you in a way that means I never leave you, I never forsake you. There may be heartbreak, there may be discipline, there may be correction, there may be a lot of tough moments in the father-son, father-daughter relationship, but till the day you die, I am committed to be a father who intercedes for you with the God of the universe. I won't quit on you. God will not quit on me. I will not quit on you. Consequences, tough choices, yes, but I will not quit on you any more than God has quit on me. And what an incredible thing that is. Now, I know that there are some of you who recognize that you got that quality of love from somebody. And unfortunately, many of us didn't get that quality of love from our dad. I finally got that quality of my love from my dad in his last few years. He really did truly repent. He really did start walking with God in his last few years. And that was a blessing. I loved it. But God was faithful to bring it into my life through my mom and through other men and through other people in the body of Christ. But for the guy sitting in this room, we get to say, I'm not waiting for God to send somebody else to pick up the ball. I want to be the guy that in my son, in my daughter's life, and maybe even a circle of other sons and daughters' life who don't have it right now, I want to be the quality of God's unconditional love. I can't be the quality of his perfection, but I want to be aiming for that unconditional commitment to the true welfare of my son or daughter. I want them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter how they break my heart, no matter how they might, in a sense, earn consequences for foolish choices, they cannot break my commitment to love them and intercede on their behalf before the living God. Now, there are so many people here this morning that it is great to see many of you back here. I know you came both for Larry and Vinity's 50th. You came back because you want to make sure you celebrated Father Day with me. I understand you came for all those good reasons. But I'm not going to finish the sermon today, so you guys have to all come back. It's just the way it's got to be. But I do want to add that. I said this, that this father disciplines in love. So the fact that love is unconditional even means that a father loves enough to care about the direction that child's life goes in. And that's why discipline is loving. Now, if discipline is all about payback, I'm angry and I'm going to pay you back, that is not the quality of the father's love. That is not the quality of the father's discipline. That what the father says is, I discipline you to bring you back. I don't discipline you to pay you back and drive you away. And there are plenty of fathers who, feeling very self-righteous, have disciplined to pay back and drive away. In this quality of father love, I discipline to bring back. Back into line with the Father's design for that life, and back into line with relationship here. Okay, I want to keep going, but we'll go ahead and end it there. There are at least 40 more verses that we actually do have to cover for this time. So even though it won't be Father's Day next week, we will continue to look at the quality of this fatherhood, both how we enjoy it. Oh, I actually do want to say one other thing. Since I had Alec read John 17 this morning, I should at least say this. Since he went to all that work, thank you. That was a long chapter, and the reason I had Alec read that entire chapter, because that is a majestic sonship chapter. I would encourage you guys, even if you were listening and paying attention while Alec read that passage, that you go back sometime today if possible, but certainly sometime this week, and read John 17 and listen for two things in that passage. Enjoy the quality of sonship that Jesus is describing between him and the Father. That Jesus is saying some beautiful things about how he and the Father have loved each other for eternity. So pay attention to that. Look at just the thankfulness that the Son has toward his Father. And look at how he's expressing the faithfulness that he's received and the love he's received and the blessings he's received in that love relationship with the Father. It's a very Father-Son chapter. But then listen for the second layer of sonship, where Jesus is now saying, and now all this Father-Son stuff that you and I have shared, let's absolutely share it with all those that you've given me. So you've heard that thought before. Ponder that thought. Look at that thought. Enjoy John 17 as both an amazement of the Father-Son relationship with Jesus, and then enjoy it as a description of your inheritance, of what you now possess only in Christ. You only possess this if you're in Christ, but once you're in Christ, you fully possess this. Now let's pray. Father God, I do thank you that your word is full of truth. Full of truth. And Father, it is heartbreaking that there are so few men throughout this history of your word, through generation upon generation, so few men who embodied your character of fatherhood into their sons and daughters' lives. That even men of faith, even men of great ministry, even men of great accomplishment, so frequently, so often neglected the father-son, father-daughter relationships that you had placed before them and entrusted to them. But Father, I do thank you that you've given us a true vision of your heart and your character as a father. You are the true and the living God, but you've chosen to be our Father. And now you've longed for us and called us to come be your sons and daughters. And your Spirit seeks to persuade us. You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. This is your heart. And we thank you for that heart, Father, because apart from that heart, we know we would have had no hope. And I thank you that in this heart of longing to make us your sons and daughters, you have now effectively committed yourself to love us unconditionally. To care for us, even to discipline us with an unconditional love. To never throw us away or send us away, but to always seek to draw us closer. Father, I pray for myself as a father. I pray for every person in this room who's still a dad. Father, even if they're a dad of a full-grown adult who's moved on and gone on to their life, that every single one of us as fathers would be listening to your Spirit. And we'd be submitting ourselves to have a continuing and even greater impact into the lives of our sons and daughters in the future. And that we want your quality coming through us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your perfect forgiveness for all the ways we dropped the ball. And then your incredible grace to give us fresh opportunity. Father, on this Father's Day, thank you. Thank you, living God. Thank you for choosing to be our Father. We agree in Jesus' name.